fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Oh, Silver, let go, big fellow. Are you still there? Hooray!
Gail Shannon and her husband had been married only a year when Lee's health began to fail. He developed a chronic cough and became increasingly thin and emaciated. Medicine did not help, so on the doctor's instructions, Lee Shannon sought a change of climate. He went to the high border country, the upper reaches of the Missouri River, while his wife moved into the Chicago home of her parents. The dry climate worked wonders for Lee. His letters were enthusiastic. Then through the winter, there was no mail from the frozen wilderness. Early spring brought the first communication in several months. Gail's father took it from the postman.
Thank you, sir. Well, here it is, Gail. The letter you've been waiting for.
Oh, at last, a letter from Lee.
It's earlier than I expected. You must have had an early spring.
I'm so nervous I can hardly open the envelope. I'll see what he says. Oh, I hope it's good news.
Dr. Stubbs was asking about Lee no longer than a week ago. He wondered what the change in climate would do for him. Said he was sure it would help. Oh,
Dad, his cough is all gone. He says he feels better than he's ever felt in his life, and he... Why...
Well, what's the matter, honey?
Dad, Lee's not coming back to Chicago. He likes that wilderness country.
The last letter said he was living with an old man, 40 miles from the nearest neighbor.
He's still there. He wants me to join him. He wants me to live in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. He does, huh?
Listen to this. He says, old Mike and I have enlarged the cabin and built a great big fireplace. It's warm and comfortable.
I can't say much for the furniture, but when you're here, we'll buy whatever you want. The riverboats will bring it from St. Louis. The upper Missouri flows right past our home. Old Mike and I have built a landing. We'll make a good living selling fuel to the wood-burning riverboats. There's an unlimited supply of timber. We've spent the winter cutting wood.
Spent the winter cutting wood, huh? He couldn't even lift an axe when he left here.
Dad, I can't go out there. What sort of life would it be? The wilderness married to a woodcutter.
Yeah, you might like it there. Besides, your place is by your husband.
Oh, but to leave Chicago, all my friends, to live in a wilderness full of outlaws and savage Indians.
Oh, it won't be as lonesome as you think, Gil. There's a lot of traffic on the upper Missouri. The riverboats take supplies to the miners and prospectors in the north, as well as to the army posts. And on the return trip, they bring out gold and silver from the mines.
Oh, but, Dad, I could never live in that rugged country.
You know, honey, your mother said almost the same thing when she was your age, when I asked her to leave New York and come to Illinois. This part of the country was almost a wilderness in those days. My generation brought civilization this far. Now, your husband strikes me as a man with the gumption to take it farther west.
I wonder what Mother will say.
I know what she'll say. But you go ask her and find out for yourself. Meanwhile, I'll see what the transportation situation is like.
Several weeks after Gail had received the letter from her husband, Lee Shannon and old Mike were cutting trees in the wilderness. The ice was gone from the upper Missouri, and at any time, the first of the river boats would pass the Shannon Landing. As Lee swung his axe, there was a sparkle in his eyes and a healthy glow in his face. There was nothing to indicate that he had been practically an invalid.
Stand clear, Mike. There she goes.
There it comes. Yeah, that was a big one, Lee.
By the time we get this cut up, we'll have a good-sized wood pile.
And if we sell all the wood we've cut, we'll have a tidy bankroll. And nothing to spend it for.
I know how to spend my share, Mike. I'll send it to St. Louis for furniture and rugs and things to fix up the house the way Gail wants it.
You better wait and see if she'll come here.
Oh, she'll come. I know Gail. I'll have a letter from her on the first boat that passes. You wait and see.
You're not even sure she received your letter.
Well, the soldiers who passed here promised to mail it as soon as they reached Fort Pierre.
Yeah, maybe they forgot or maybe they lost it. You know, son, you're asking a lot of your wife to come and live in a place like this.
Oh, she'll love it, Mike. When she gets to know this country as I do, she won't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah, women have different notions.
Mike, did you hear that?
Boat whistle.
Yeah, the first boat of the season coming north. She'll be around the bend in a few minutes.
Well, we're ready for her. The landing is built and the sign telling we got wood for sale is there for any skipper to see.
You too. Reach for the sky.
What the?
That voice came from the brushwood over yonder.
Keep your hands up. We'll search you and make sure you're unarmed.
All right, come on, boys.
Two hard-faced men with guns stepped into view from behind the screen of underbrush. They were followed by eight others, all heavily armed.
Lee, it's a gang.
What do you want?
You will find out. Keep your hands up and maybe you won't get hurt. Steve, you search the old man. I'll see if this gent's carrying a gun.
Right.
The rest of you stand ready. If they try anything, shoot him.
You plan a robbery, you came to the wrong
place.
Save
your breath. We know what we're doing.
Let me alone. I got no gun.
I'll find out for myself. Hold still or I'll crease your head.
Well, this one's unarmed. How about the old coot?
Nothing on him, Red.
Hey, Hank, bring that rope here and tie their hands. Yeah. Then you and the others take them inside the cabin. Gag them, tie their feet.
Right, boss.
The boat's getting close. It'll soon be in view.
We'll hurry with those ropes. I don't want you to be seen by the skipper of that boat.
Red, we let this boat go by?
Yeah. There'll be nothing of value on the boats going north. It's a southbound boat that'll carry gold.
So that's it. You plan to hold up the riverboats.
Smart, aren't you?
That's hard.
Then take them inside. And all of you stay out of sight. Me and Steve will stand by in case that boat stops for wood.
Gail Shannon stood next to the captain in the wheelhouse as the riverboat named Prairie Queen rounded the bend.
There's the landing over yonder, Mrs. Shannon. Shannon's Landing, we call it.
And that house?
Well, now, have a look at that house. By Juniper, it's grown since last fall.
Lee said he'd enlarged it.
He's fixed up his landing, too. Looks like he's going into the firewood business in dead earnest. Well, he'll get all of my trade.
I see two men, but neither of them look like Lee.
Stand clear a bit, ma'am. I gotta handle the bell with one hand and my megaphone with the other. That's a signal to the engine room. Now, let me get this megaphone out of this window here.
Full stand to starboard! Stop to larboard! Lower hand to starboard! Lively now. Run out that bow line. Take a turn around that spile.
And there we are, ma'am. Right spang up to the dock. We don't even need a gangplank. I'll set your baggage ashore.
Gail followed the captain from the wheelhouse, perched atop the cabin, down a flight of stairs to the deck. As the skipper lifted two carpet bags to the dock, Steve and Red stepped forward.
Well, howdy, Captain.
Ahoy there. I don't know either of you. Where's Lee Shannon?
Well, we're his friends. He left us in charge of the place. If you want any wood, we can take care of you.
Won't need fuel this trip. We're traveling light, but we'll stop on the way back.
Where is my husband?
Your husband?
This is Mrs. Shannon.
Oh.
Perhaps I should have written before I came.
No, that's all right, ma'am. Your husband is going away for a short trip.
Oh, are either of you named Mike?
No, Mike went with Shannon, but they'll be back real soon. Maybe tonight. We'll carry your bags to the house.
Very well. Oh, thank you, Captain, for a pleasant trip.
Maybe you better stay on board till my return trip, Mrs. Shannon. By that time, your husband will be back.
Well, he'll be back tonight or tomorrow at the latest.
And I'll be waiting for him in the house. Oh, he'll certainly be surprised.
That night after dark, the Lone Ranger and Tonto drew their horses to a halt in the dense forest not far from the river. The masked man and his faithful Indian companion had spent weeks following the trail of the notorious outlaw Red Carter and his gang.
You steady, big fellow. We're very close to Carter now, Tonto. I don't want to take a chance on losing the trail in darkness. We'll camp here until daybreak. I think he's confident now he can't be tracked down.
Gang plenty strong.
As soon as we locate the Carter outfit, one of us will go for help.
Help? Long way.
Yes, I know that, Tonto.
That woman.
I didn't know there was a woman within 50 miles. Come on, leave the horses where they are.
Leaving their horses at ground hitch, the Lone Ranger and Tonto ran through the trees in the direction of the woman's cry. They had covered only a short distance when they came to a clearing. They could see a lighted cabin near the edge of the moonlit Missouri, and they saw a woman running toward them.
She's running away from that house, Tonto.
Gale ran blindly, looking back over her shoulder in the direction of the cabin. She didn't notice the Lone Ranger and Tonto until she was upon them.
Let us help you. We heard you cry out.
Oh, let me go.
Please.
Your mask. You two belong to the Carter gang.
Please listen to me. We're not members of the Carter gang. We've been trailing those crooks.
Let me go, I tell you. Let go of my arm.
Is the Carter gang in that cabin?
Yes, and they're coming after me. I knocked the guard down with a club, but the others...
Them come.
There she is!
Oh, they're shooting!
Come with us.
Shoot again! They'll kill us! They'll kill us!
Take her to the horses, Tonto. I'll return that gunfire and give those men something to think about.
The masked man knew that his gunfire would halt the gang only momentarily. He turned quickly to follow Tonto and the girl into the shelter of the trees. He was none too soon. Half a dozen guns in the outlaw's hands began to speak. Carter's men maintained their fire. Tonto and Gale halted beside the horses and turned to meet the Lone Ranger.
I saw at least six men.
Oh, you hit someone. I heard him cry out.
How many are there in the gang?
10. Oh, but who are you? Why do you wear that mask?
There will be time to talk when we're away from here. You'll ride with me. Steady there, Silver.
Oh, but I don't know.
I'll lift you to the saddle. All right, up you go. Steady, easy now. Get going, Tonto.
Come up, Scott.
Red Carter and several members of his outlaw gang knew there was no hope of overtaking Gale Shannon without horses. They returned to the cabin, wondering about the identity of the two men who had aided her escape.
I didn't know there was anyone in this part of the country besides us, and those two were holding us prisoners.
Yeah, neither did I.
I didn't get a close look at either of those men, you read?
No.
You think it's safe for us to go ahead with our plans?
Why not?
Well, Gale Shannon escaped. She'll tell about us capturing her husband. She knows about our plan to steal gold from a riverboat.
She also knows that we're holding her husband as a prisoner. That we'll kill him if anyone tries to interfere with us.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. To continue. The Lone Ranger and Tonto guided their horses through the tall timber and took great pains to conceal their tracks. Finally, they drew rein, dismounted, and made camp. They cut evergreens and made a lean-to shelter for Gale Shannon. Despite his mask, the Lone Ranger had won the girl's confidence. Gale told how her husband had left Chicago for his health and how after a year she had followed.
I didn't tell Lee I was coming. Two men met the boat at the landing and said they were Lee's friends. and that Lee would be home tonight or tomorrow.
The two men were members of the gang?
Yes. One was called Steve and the other Red.
Red Carter. He's the leader.
I learned that soon after I went inside the house.
Did you learn anything about your husband?
I didn't see him. Red Carter told me that he and his friend Old Mike were prisoners. They're being held in a storeroom.
Are you sure they're still alive?
Even though I couldn't speak to Lee, I'm sure he's still alive. And probably Old Mike as well. You see, the gang plans to attack one of the riverboats bringing gold from the north.
So that's the plan?
Yes. They think Lee, my husband, can point out a boat that's heavily loaded with gold. That's why they didn't kill him.
Well, how did you escape?
They didn't tie me. They probably figured I wouldn't leave as long as my husband was there. There was one man sitting near the door. I struck him on the head with a club and then ran from the house.
Did you expect to find help in this wilderness?
I didn't stop to think. I knew that the nearest settlement was an army fort, and I knew it was a very long way away, but well, anything was better than waiting. And I knew those men would kill me as well as my husband and Mike as soon as they'd looted a riverboat.
You said there were 10 men in the gang.
Yes, and they're all heavily armed. You and your friend would be no match for them.
We surprise gang?
I'd be willing to try it, Tonto, if there were not so much at stake. We attack that gang and lose, Mrs. Shannon would die in this wilderness. Their husband would be killed. Furthermore, Red Carter's gang would attack a boat, probably kill the crew. They'd get a cargo of gold and become more powerful than ever. I have another plan, Easy Silver, steady.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to leave you here with Tonto. I'll ride through the trees and reach the riverbank north of the cabin. I'll follow the river north until I see the first boat heading south. Perhaps if the skipper and the crew know what to look for, they'll be prepared for trouble. Easy, steady, big fellow. Adios.
Goodbye.
The Lone Ranger traveled steadily until he reached the river some distance north of the clearing where the Shannon cabin was located. Then he followed a bank until he came to a place where the Big Missouri narrowed. Here he drew rein, dismounted, and made camp. It was about 2 hours after daybreak when he heard a whistle and a moment later saw a big side-wheeling riverboat come into view. It was the Missouri Belle. It sat low in the water with a heavy cargo. When he saw that the Missouri Belle would not come close to shore, the masked man quickly unbuckled his gun belt, then looped it around his neck to keep his weapons and his ammunition dry. He turned to Silver.
Only one thing to do, Silver. We must go out to meet that boat steady easy. Come on, big fella.
The river was deep and the current was strong. Water swirled and foamed about the white horse and the man in the saddle. Silver struggled bravely straight out toward the middle of the river.
Steady, boy, steady. Whistle means they've seen us.
The Lone Ranger on Silver and the Missouri Belle drew nearer and nearer to each other. Once again, the whistle sounded. The masked man waved his hand to the captain at the wheel. Bells jangled on the ship. The engine stopped. Then, as they reversed, the paddle wheels whipped the water into white foam.
Ahoy there! Get out from another!
The reversed engine soon checked the heavily loaded boat. The captain and several members of the crew hurried to the rail as the masked man brought his horse alongside, grabbed the rail, and pulled himself to the low deck.
What in tarnation does this mean? Who are you? Why are you wearing a mask?
Just a minute, Captain. Go on, Silver. Back to shore, big fella. Get going, Silver.
Look at that horse running for shore. Yeah. I never saw anything like it.
Mister, you're lucky we didn't run you down.
Before you do anything else, you better explain that mask.
Aside from the fact that the mask conceals my identity, Captain, it is to many people west of this river a mark of identification, just as the silver bullets in this gun belt.
Silver bullets?
I'm the Lone Ranger. I came aboard to warn you in an attempt to steal the gold from this ship when you reach Shannon's Landing.
Lone Ranger. You talk, mister. I'll be glad to listen.
Before the Missouri Belle resumed the journey, the captain listened to the masked man's story. His face became grim when he heard that 10 heavily armed outlaws were lying in wait at the landing.
10 men, you say?
Yes, all of them well armed.
They'll outnumber us, Captain.
Not only that, mate. Not all of our men carry arms.
That Red Carter gang. They can't come aboard unless we put in at the landing.
No.
And we can pass up the landing. Go right by without stopping. How about that, Captain?
Well, that's a good idea. I figured to take on firewood at Shannon's Landing, but we can pick it up further south.
If you pass the landing, Captain, you'll save your cargo and avoid a fight. Then Red Carter will attack the next boat instead of the Missouri Belle.
Well, that suits me first rate. Let someone else fight those crooks.
Well, whoever fights and conquers them will take aboard a mighty valuable cargo.
Huh?
There's a price on the head of every member of Red Carter's gang. The rewards will make it well worthwhile capturing them.
Well, that puts a different light on the situation. Do you think we'd have a chance against those outlaws?
Having won the confidence of the skipper, the Lone Ranger outlined a plan of campaign. Then, before the sidewheeler got underway, the captain had a member of the crew take the masked man in a flat-bottomed rowboat to the shore where Silver waited. As quickly as possible, the Lone Ranger rejoined Tonto and Gale Shannon in the camp. He told his Indian friend about the meeting with the riverboat captain. After that, there was nothing to do but wait for the sound of the familiar whistle. There were others listening for the whistle of a downstream boat. Red Carter and his men were watching when the Missouri Belle came into view, then angled from midstream to the Shannon Landing. Red Carter stood next to the pile of firewood near the landing. His gang was concealed behind the logs.
Keep out of sight, boys. I'll let you know what's going on.
Hey, Red, is that boat heavy loaded?
Heavy loaded is right, Steve. It's right down to the gunnels.
Sounds like the engines are reversed.
Yeah. They aim to stop for fuel, no doubt of that. There's a man standing ready to toss a noose around this stump to hold the boat against the current.
How many in the crew?
Well, I can see just two. The one with the rope and the skipper in the wheelhouse.
Hope we're not outnumbered.
We won't be. Those boats don't use much of a crew. Get set, boys. I'll go aboard and get the drop of the men I see. Then the rest of you come rushing.
Yeah, we're ready.
Well, here goes.
Ahoy there! You got fuel for sale?
That's what the sign says.
Where's Shannon?
I'm handling the business temporarily.
Where's your crew?
Our skipper's up in the wheelhouse. I reckon he'll be right down to negotiate for the wood.
Get him up, mister.
Why, the garden?
A gun barked from the cabin roof. The bullet smashed Red's weapon and gave the crewman a scant few seconds to leap through the cabin door. Then Red's gang rushed to the deck.
Hey, Red, are you hurt?
Nah. Someone fired from above, smashed my gun. I've got another. Spread out.
Hear that, boys? Spread out.
Go through the boat and shoot anyone you see.
Before the cooks could act on Red Carter's instructions, the members of the crew leaped down from the cabin roof to meet the outlaws in a hand-to-hand fight. The skipper and the mate were armed with guns. The others held belaying pins, marlin spikes, and clubs.
Hail the mortars! Give them what they ask for! Belay the pirates!
The outlaws not only outnumbered the crew, they were better armed. The skipper and his crewmen had the momentary advantage of surprise and close quarters. Red Carter's men were unable to use their guns. Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had been watching the cabin on shore and had hurried through a rear door as soon as they saw the outlaws leave. They quickly located and freed Lee Shannon and Old Mike, then rushed toward the dock. The boatmen had lost their temporary advantage. It had become a fairly even fight until two of Red Carter's men leaped back from the struggling mass of swinging fists and clubs and brought their guns to bear.
I'll get the skipper, you kill the mate!
The Lone Ranger and Tonto fired as they raced to the dock. Their bullets disarmed the outlaws who were to shoot at the skipper.
We're coming, skipper!
The sheriff are coming, boys!
It's a masked man!
I want you, Red Carter.
I'll kill you.
Red tried to bring his gun to bear. The Lone Ranger chopped at his forearm with the side of his hand. It was a numbing blow. It brought a gasp of pain from Red Carter.
Here's a follow-up.
The masked man's fist shot forward like a battering ram and landed flush on Carter's jaw. The big outlaw went down unconscious. The Lone Ranger turned and jabbed another member of the gang in the pit of the stomach. He and Tonto turned the tide. By the time Lee and Old Mike had reached the dock, the fight was over. Red Carter's men were badly bruised and battered, but there were no serious injuries. Their hands and feet were tightly bound. Then they were lined up on the deck close to the rail of the Missouri Belle. Then Tonto went ashore to get the horses. As the Lone Ranger tied the last knot, he turned to the skipper.
These men, Captain, will make this one of your best-paying trips.
The swabs, they came aboard intending to kill me and every member of my crew. I'd like to swing them from the yardarm or make them walk the plank.
Turn them over to the law when you reach St. Louis. You'll collect rewards for every one of them.
Rewards, huh?
Dead, bust it. Why couldn't you keep that fight going till me and Lee Shannon got in a few whacks?
Cheer up, Mike. If there's any rewards, I'll see that the distribution is fair. Half will go to this masked man, then we'll divvy the rest with you and Lee.
Oh, I don't want any share of the rewards, Captain. I'm glad to be alive. If it hadn't been for this masked man...
If it hadn't been for him, we'd all be dead. I say he should have all the reward money.
Thank you, mate, but I have no use for the money.
But we owe you a debt,
Lee. Lee, I want nothing more than to see a lot of other settlers here on the riverbank. I'd like to see a village, then a town, and perhaps someday a great city. You and men like you must conquer this wilderness. Make it a place where your wife can live secure and comfortable.
Oh, what about my wife? She ran away from these crooks. She's somewhere in the wilderness.
There wasn't time to tell you about her while I was cutting your ropes. but she's safe. Look toward the cabin.
Yeah? What? Great day. Look at that pretty girl.
It's Gail.
She's waiting for you.
Gail! Gail, I'll be right there.
Here's Tonto with the horses. I'll be back, Lee. We meet again. Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye, sir. I'll tell them in St. Louis who really captured these polecats.
Montilly!
I'm up, scout.
Captain, do you mean to say you know that masked man?
No.
Then how can you tell the people in St. Louis who captured the outlaws?
I can't tell anyone the name of the gent who captured the Carter gang. I'll just have to tell them it was the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.